so blind. I know what freedom means.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. This is episode number 378, a practical show done by a practical guy. That's me. Well, this week, you know, this episode doesn't really have a main topic. It's got a really cool interview in it that I'm going to play for you in a few minutes, but not really a definite main topic. I still think you're going to get a lot of good stuff out of listening this week. Might be a little bit shorter than a normal episode, but, you know, that's okay. Next week, I might be rebroadcasting one of my older shows again. Haven't done that in a while, and I've received requests here and there from people wanting to get some of the old shows available on iTunes again. So I'll probably rebroadcast one next week. Got to tell you about some things that I've done with guns lately. Primarily, my Sig Sauer P229 Legion series. Hey, how many of you listening have ever shot one of those? Or even dry-fired one? I'm telling you, it is a really, really cool pistol. I have a hard time saying anything negative about it. But the only thing that I didn't care for too much is the thing was shooting to the left. I had other people shoot it, and it was shooting to the left. So I had Ben drift the front sight to the left just a little bit, and now it's shooting right on. I guess I didn't realize that SIGs are set up for a 6 o'clock hold. Meaning you got to use the 6 o'clock position when you're lining up the sights. I thought it was point of aim, point of impact. And so I did a video recently, and I couldn't figure out why it was shooting about 3/4 of an inch high from a rest at 10 yards. It was shooting about 3/4 of an inch high at 10 yards. But maybe that's why, because of the 6 o'clock hold. And I'm just not used to shooting that way. I'm used to point of aim, point of impact, like with a Glock, most striker fire pistols, you know, most M&Ps, XDs, so on and so forth. But went to the range recently with Ben Branham, and Ben brought a friend along. And by the way, that's who we interviewed. We interviewed Ben's buddy. And you're going to find this quite interesting. I'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But we shot quite a few different pistols. Had a chance to shoot Ben's, let's just call Ben's friend Carlos. And I got a chance to shoot Carlos's Glock 43 with Terran Tactical base pads. I had never shot one with the Terran Tactical base pads on the magazines. I like them. I mean, they're pretty good. I like the plus one base pad a lot better than the plus two. I think the plus two just makes it a little bit too big and too long, kind of enlarges the Glock 43 grip size too much. You know, if you're going to get a Glock 43, it's a small pistol, and it's meant for the role of a small pistol. A Glock 43 has a role to play in my concealed carry setup. And, you know, a Glock 43 or a Smith & Wesson Shield, those are my primary 9mm guns. Although I'll tell you, I'm going to talk about the Walther PPS M2 in a minute that I own. But if you're going to carry a small gun like that, keep it small. Okay? And, you know, the plus one by Terran Tactical is fine. I actually, believe it or not, I'm one of the few people, I guess, one of the very few people that like the Glock 43 just the way it is, out of the box. I know it's only 6 rounds in the magazine, which makes it a 7-round gun. And I don't believe in counting my reload as extra ammo. The reason I don't believe in counting my reload as extra ammo is because the chance of reloading in a gunfight is extremely, extremely slim. Let me ask all of you here, let me put a challenge out to you. Here's my challenge to you. Email me news of a civilian defensive gun use. Email me one. where it was proven that the person using the handgun reloaded to add more ammunition into their pistol and keep fighting. If you can send that to me, that would be great. And maybe it has happened. I'm not saying it's not happened. Maybe it has happened. I've never actually seen hardcore proof of it. So if you've got that, send it to me. So anyway, I don't count the extra magazine as extra ammo. I count the extra magazine as a solution to a problem, and that problem could be if my gun malfunctions. I can clear that malfunction, and I can dispose of the bad magazine that probably caused the malfunction, and I can insert a new one. And I'm not going to take a chance, folks. If I have a malfunction in a gunfight, well, first of all, let me back up. If I'm ever in a gunfight, that's going to be a horrible, horrible day. I hope I'm never in a gunfight. But if I am in a gunfight and I have a malfunction, I am getting rid of the magazine, because even if I don't know for sure if it's the magazine, I don't care. I'm going to eliminate that problem instantly. Like within a second, I'm going to get rid of that magazine, and then I'm going to take the spare magazine that rides in my mag holder, horizontal mag carrier, and I'm going to insert that, and I'm going to run the slide again to chamber a fresh round. Okay, so that's why I carry an extra magazine. So anyway, the Glock 43, it's a 6-round magazine plus one in the gun. The Terran Tactical base pads are good. There are other manufacturers that make a plus one. I think Pierce even makes a plus one. And I like the shape of the Pierce magazines better. I'm okay with the Glock factory finger extensions, you know, pinky extensions. But I really like Pierce Grips products, and you know, I think those are the best if you want to add an extra round. But the Terran Tacticals are pretty good. I was pretty impressed with them. So I had a chance to shoot that. That was really good news and a lot of fun. Oh, I also got a chance to shoot Ben Branham's, I call it the Branham Glock 19. It's the Branham Glock 19. He's got a Lone Wolf Timberwolf frame, which I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed with the Lone Wolf Timberwolf frame. And then he's got, of course, a Glock 19 upper. He's got the whole entire upper assembly for a Glock 19 on that. And he's done a real nice trigger job to it. So I got a chance to shoot that. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool gun. And I watched Ben shoot it extremely well. Matter of fact, he shot it better than he shot my SIG P229 Legion. So I'm pleased with that. You know, it just goes to show that striker fired guns are plenty accurate for what they're intended to do, and you're not going to win a bullseye competition with a striker fired gun. But that's not why you have a striker fired gun, is it? You have a striker fired gun because of their simplicity, because of their reliability, because of their very good accuracy, and all the benefits that come with that. So it was a good experience to shoot that. I'm a believer in that. I didn't really have much of an opinion on the Timberwolf frames before. I was asked about them before, and I kind of had to respond and say, well, you know, I just really don't know. One of the things about my podcast, I don't know if you appreciate this or not. I hope you do. I don't like to offer opinions on products, guns, ammo, or anything, unless I've tested it. It's irritating to me. I've listened to other podcasts, radio shows, and even watched videos on YouTube. People, you know, rendering opinions, acting like authorities on something, and then I come to find out, either in the podcast, in the video, or I come to find out later that they've never really tested it. Sometimes people will opine, and they've never even really shot the gun or tested the accessory. And that's irritating to me. So I'm not going to do that to you. But now I can, if you want to know about the Timberwolf frame, I can definitely say, hey, I've shot it. I've tested it a little bit, and I'm quite impressed with it. Okay, next, I want to talk about concealment solutions. They're inside the waistband holsters and the Cobra outside the waistband holsters and even the appendix carry holsters that they have. Just fine, fine products. Jason's working on a Handgun World holster. So he's working on that. He and I are communicating back and forth. I'm talking to him about things that I like to see in a holster that not a lot of other people do. And, you know, Jason is just good that way. He's good about customizing things. So if you're looking for a good holster for your gun, either outside the waistband or inside the waistband, or you need a custom holster built, ConcealmentSolutions.com. They are an official sponsor of the Handgun World podcast, ConcealmentSolutions.com. Handgun World is the coupon code that'll get you 10% off. Anything except his belts, 10% off. Anything at ConcealmentSolutions.com. Handgun World is the coupon code. All right. Ben's friend Carlos shot with us on last Monday. We were doing some practice and things and doing some testing. And oh, before I get into Carlos's interview, I also want to tell you, we filmed a new video for the Shooters Club. We filmed a new video for the Shooters Club last Monday. So I'm going to be putting that, I'm going to be uploading that new video to the Shooters Club very soon. So there's a few good videos up there that if you haven't checked your Shooters Club website lately, check it out. If you're not a member, what are you waiting for? You can support Ben Branham and myself with our podcasts for only $8 a month and $75 a year. If you like to look at gear, my latest video, guess what? Guess what my latest video is all about? Gear. A lot of cool gear. Guns, holsters, mag carriers, ammunition, all that stuff. And every video is a little bit different. We don't, you know, put the same stuff up there twice. So there's probably 56 or 57 videos, and there's going to be a new audio podcast up on the Shooters Club pretty soon that I'll tell you about here in a minute. But if you want to join, go to handgunworld.com, click the Shooters Club page, or just go straight to shootersclubmembers.com. That's shootersclubmembers.com. The password is going to change in about a week. So let me say something to all the Shooters Club members. If you log in and it doesn't work, it's probably because you've used the old password. Check your email and check your email for the new password, or just send me an email, bob@handgunworld.com. That's bob@handgunworld.com, and I'll email you the new password. Okay, so Carlos had a pretty interesting incident happen to him recently. And we had about a half hour conversation on what exactly happened to him. And I thought it was quite unfair. It involves a firearm. It involves getting arrested. Okay, I'm at the range with Ben Branham and one of Ben's friends by the name of Carlos. Carlos, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Good. Hey, Ben was telling me about an incident that recently happened to you, and we thought it would be good for our listeners to hear this because I've heard a little bit of it, and it sounds like something that could easily happen to just about anybody. So, Carlos, talk about what recently happened to you.
Okay. So, I'm an Uber driver at night, and during the day, I work at a gun store. So, for my protection, and I know it's against all the rideshare groups, but just for my protection, I have a Glock 43, small enough to fit in the car and hide. Well, during some festivities a couple months ago, I gotten off late around 2:30, went home, decided that, hey, I need to work the next day, but I'm not really feeling it. Let me get some motivation. So I went for a 5-mile run in my neighborhood.
Wait a minute, 2:30 in the afternoon?
In the evening.
2:30 in the morning?
Yes, sir.
A 5-mile run?
Yeah.
Man, you're hardcore.
It's hot in Texas, and that's the best time to go when the sun's down.
Sorry to interrupt you. All right, so you go for a 5-mile run at 2:30 in the morning.
Yes. As I leave, something tells me, hey, you should bring your gun, but hopefully you won't fall into any trouble. Just one spare mag, throw it up under the hat like you usually do. No problem. Left the gun sitting in my driver's seat, threw my baseball cap over it, locked the doors, threw the keys up under my windshield wiper.
Okay, so the cap is covering the gun.
Fully covering the gun.
That's how I carry mine in my car, too, sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. You know, just stepping away. I don't have my concealed carry, so just staying within the law, that's what I did. Went on my run as I'm coming back. I'm about 3/4 of a mile from finishing. So at 4 1/4 miles, I started to get all kinds of phone calls on my my phone. I dismiss them because I'm like, hey, don't disturb me through, you know, during my Zen time. As I'm clearing the last hill, I come down and I see 2 cop car units and 3 cops surrounding my car.
Whoa.
Yeah, that not what I was looking forward to after 5 miles. So I'm thinking, hey, since they're building this complex, they probably think, you know, I'm over here trying to mess with some of the building supplies or the building. I'll just let them know, hey, look, I'm just out working out. Sorry, it's late at night. But, you know, it's the coolest time of the day. As I walk up, they ask me, is this my car? I'll say, yes, sir. Yes, it is. They asked me for identification. Unfortunately, I didn't have any. But I pulled up my Facebook, which actually has my name on it. Let them know, hey, look, this is me. Showed them the Nike app. Hey, this is the route I just ran. You know, I'm out here drenched in sweat. Looked like I went for a swim, you know, in the lap pool. Then the cops, they run my name. Nothing comes back. The younger rookie cop, he was really, what's the word? Very adamant, jumpy.
Yeah, he was a little skittish, huh?
Yeah, he was real jumpy. And I'm like, hey, man, calm down, you know. No worries, I'm a vet. Army vet, I've been over a couple times, bro. I'm tuckered out. You guys got me up 5 miles. If I wanted to try something, I'm putting myself in a horrible situation. So, you know, you're good to go. You're safe with me as long as I'm safe with you. The rookie then tells me he found a gun in my car, and I'm like, okay, how? It's covered. Well, we found it and we have it. We're taking you in for unlawful carry. I'm like, excuse me?
Wait a minute. First of all,
your car was locked, right?
Yes. Was your car locked or
my car was locked.
Your car was locked?
Yes.
But they say they found a gun in your car?
Yes.
How?
Well, unfortunately, I left my car keys because I have a key fob. They're really expensive, so I don't want to sweat them out. And I stashed it underneath my windshield wiper. There's a small little cubby so it'll fit.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was looking around and poking and he found it. Opened my car, took my gun out.
Opened your car without your permission.
Yes.
You didn't consent.
No.
To let them open your car.
No.
All right. I see a problem with this already.
Okay.
Okay.
They then continued to search the whole car. Found all my other gear. I have a bug out kit and pistol belt with a couple boxes of ammo in the back, you know, just to top off. You know, just in case, God forbid, if something really bad happens.
No laws broken yet.
No. But my car is searched, and they tell me, we have your gun. We're taking you in.
Your car is searched.
Without me being
there. Without you being there. Mm-hmm. So they searched it. You were not present.
That is correct.
They took the liberty to take your key, mm-hmm. unlock your car,
mm-hmm.
search your gun, and your gun was concealed, right?
Yes, sir.
You had a baseball cap over your gun.
Yes, sir.
A little Glock 43. Not
over
a big
Glock,
gun.
Over a little Glock 43. A baseball cap is going to more than cover a Glock 43. Okay, so no laws are broken. I'm all right, keep going.
So as I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, you know what? At this point in time, I can't fight. No matter what I do, I'm wrong at this point.
Yeah.
So just go with the flow. I asked a cop, hey, can you do me a favor? Let me make a couple phone calls before you guys take me in since I have my phone. They let me go. They gave me about 15 minutes. So I called everybody on my emergency support channel. Called Ben. Since I work with Ben, I called another coworker. I called my dad. I called my mom. I called my brother that's in town.
That's good.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, man, just in case you want to tow it, you know, this is what's going on. I'm going to jail. They're like, what'd you do? And, you know, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning now. They're like, what'd you do? And I'm like, I didn't do nothing. I just went for a run. And they found a gun in my car. Oh, is it stolen? I'm like, I never have a stolen gun. Why? That's craziness. I work at a gun store.
Yeah.
I buy my guns. So I go into the booking. They leave me there in the cold room. They take me out and I have to sign for my property because I have to, you know, turn over property and everything. They want to keep a record of it. As I'm doing this, the younger rookie cop comes back out and is like, yeah, we would have never got that gun if we hadn't found your keys.
would have never got the gun if they hadn't found your keys.
Yep.
But what business do they have trying to find your keys?
None.
What was the? Did you ever ask what was the problem with your car in the first place that they felt they had to search it?
They had never seen the car parked there. They, like I said, they're just now building apartment complexes there. Normally, in my old car, I parked behind the bushes and the trees on a dirt road. I've ran there at that time before. Since I totaled my last car, I have a new car, and they have a, you know, cement there for me to park on. Hey, take advantage of it. You know, it's in a, it's, it has a light over the little mailboxes and everything. So I'm like, hey, I don't have to walk in the dirt. Cool. Perfect. I don't have to get my car dirty since I do ride share at
night. Yeah, right, right.
Perfect. Just park my car, get it. I'm a little sweaty. It's only, shoot, a 6-minute ride home. Cops. So they get me in the book, and that's what the cop said to me. Immediately, I'm like, okay, please, Lord Jesus, tell me that these two back cameras back here have audio and that these two cops have their body cameras still on.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, I look directly into both body cameras of both cops. I'm like, hey, man, I did not understand you. Can you tell me again? What are you telling me? Hey, we wouldn't have got that gun if we hadn't found your car keys. Yeah. And I'm like, so where do I go pick up my gun? You don't. Excuse me, sir? You don't. Why not? Because we're charging you with this. And then he, you know, puts down the charges. Right then and there, I'm like, this is some real shady stuff.
What were the charges?
Unlawful carry.
And I'm unlawful like, carry.
Unlawful carry.
Wait, wait. You had a concealed handgun in your vehicle, which in the state of Texas is perfectly legal.
Yes.
So
how? And you weren't in your vehicle at the time. You were outside of your vehicle.
Right. You were out of your vehicle. Of you weren't vehicle. In your vehicle when the cops found your handgun.
And I got to say, true. Even Texas law isn't that stupid, or California law. You can't be charged with carrying an illegal weapon if you weren't actually carrying it.
Right. When yes. they found your gun, you were actually storing it. You weren't carrying yes. it. Your vehicle was stopped.
Yes.
It was concealed, and yes. you were not in the vehicle, so you were storing a handgun.
Yes.
And you didn't have control of the vehicle because you didn't even have your keys. The cops had your keys. They had control of the vehicle.
Yes. So at this point, the police officer is saying that you're being charged with unlawful carry.
Yes.
What was your response?
The only thing I could do at that time was just smile. Smile, sign the paperwork, go back to your cell, take your toilet paper, sit down, and this duration shouldn't take any more than 24 hours.
Okay, I gotta say,
I
gotta say that Buddy here, he's pretty athletic and pretty, what's the word, agitatable.
Yes.
And yeah. So for all you guys out there, he did the right thing. You can't fight it there because you're going to lose. He's going right. They're going to get enough cops to win. Yeah. So incredible restraint from you by not trying to strike one of the officers or anything and just going, okay. We'll deal with this later. This really sucks, but we'll get there.
Like the old saying is, you might beat the rat, but you're not going to beat the ride.
Yep. That is true.
So you took a ride, and where did you go?
Oh, that was the first ride. I stayed in the local police department for approximately 2 to 3 hours. From there, they took me to the county downtown with a bunch of rough scallions. And you can ask Ben. I run in short shorts, and these shorts barely cover half my legs. And that is not the place to be. In short shorts with a microfiber t-shirt.
Oh.
And they put you, but they put you in like the real holding cell with real criminals.
Yes, with real criminals.
Nice.
There was a guy there that was on a possession charge of 2 keys of coke. There was another guy that had been arrested that night for assault battery. Like he did an assault and battery and he was beat up pretty good too. There was another guy there that was destruction DUI. He took out a light pole. And you could still smell him from across the cell. And I'm like, am I the only guy in here that's perfectly sober? Didn't do anything. And I'm in a jail cell.
Yeah, you probably were the only guy in there sober. That was it. You were it.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting.
It was one of the worst mass murders committed by a single person. It happened down south. A lunatic killed 27 people, including his own mother, in a single pass. The killer used a 6-shot revolver and a knife. Mass murderers find whatever tools they need, and those tools don't need to be sporting rifles or high-capacity clips. A slow, reloading revolver is all this fellow needed. Banning clips will not prevent a madman's massacre, But that doesn't matter to the gun control industry, who thinks inanimate objects are evil, but ignore the deranged people who misuse them. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
All right, thank you, Carlos. Now, you need to know how this all turned out. I let you in on a little bit of it in the last segment. I told you a little bit, but there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more. You got to listen to this entire story. It's going to be on the Shooters Club. So all of you who are Shooters Club members, it's going to be available. Just go to the audio podcast page and you can listen to it. By the way, you have to have an internet connection to view or listen to anything on the Shooters Club. You have to have a internet connection. We do not let you download them and put them on your smartphone or your computer or tablets or anything like that. But if you want to hear the rest of this, you're not a member of the Shooters Club, sign up. If you are a member of the Shooters Club, go right now, as soon as you finish listening to this episode, and listen to the rest of Carlos's story. It's quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. And it's also kind of an indicator as to what can happen to you if you're a little bit careless, but or even if you do everything right. Even if you do everything right. You know, so there's something about firearms. There's something about firearms. Whenever guns are involved, it just seems to make people do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. And, you know, folks, I love police officers. I think police officers are the good guys. Okay? Every once in a while, there are police officers that make mistakes. But, you know, cops as a whole are terrific. You know, I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And I really mean that. I really mean that. Even, you know, even though the police officers are not absolutely obligated to protect you. That's what they do. That's why they are police officers. Okay, that's their mission. That is their job description. That's what they want to do. And so the vast majority of them, 98-99% of them are good guys. And I really dislike all the cop bashing going on right now. I really, really dislike it. It bothers me. It bothers me a lot. And of course, the assault and the murder of police officers is absolutely 100% unacceptable in today's society. Flat out unacceptable. But it proves Carlos's situation, the incident proves what can happen even if you do everything right. So I ask you this question. I ask you this question. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan when you carry a gun? What do I mean? What am I asking you? I'm asking, do you know what you're going to do with your gun if you can't carry it and you need to leave it in your vehicle? Do you know what the consequences are of that? Do you know how to deal with the police and what could happen to you if that is discovered? If you're breaking the law, it's your problem. Know your laws. Know your laws. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you ever have to use your gun in self-defense, do you know how to handle that situation? Are you prepared? Do you have the resources? See, that's another thing. Do you have the resources to defend yourself? To make the case in your favor? Do you have the attorney? Do you have the money? What's going to happen with your job? What's going to happen with your family? See, carrying a gun is a huge decision. It's not just only knowing how to use the gun. You have to know what kind of consequences and laws, what kind of consequences will happen to you just by simply carrying a gun, and what kind of laws you have to obey when you carry a gun. I, for one, folks, I believe it's all worth it. It's all worth it. It's all worth taking the calculated risk that I take when I carry a gun. Now, I do things to make it easier on myself. Okay, I am a member of organizations like the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network and Texas Law Shield. I also go to classes. I go to classes that teach me how to prevail and win the fight. I also go to classes that teach a little bit about the legalities and the liabilities. Okay, I listen to other experts talk about both sides of that. And I keep myself informed, and I keep myself prepared, and I keep myself aware of what's going on. Now, it could get a lot tougher, folks. It could get a whole lot tougher coming up real soon. You know, hey, call me a pessimist if you want. But I'm going to say this right now. I think Hillary Clinton's going to be our next president. Yeah, I do. I'm not going to vote for her. I don't want Hillary Clinton to be our next president. I'll be very clear. I don't want Hillary Clinton to be our next president, but I think she's going to win. I think she's going to win because Donald Trump just can't help himself. He can't stop destroying himself. He's imploding. He's imploding right before our very eyes, folks. The stupid stuff that he says that he doesn't need to say. It's just, it's ridiculous. He says stupid stuff. He must either have bad advisors or he's just that much of a loose cannon. I like the guy. I like what most of what he stands for. You know, I think the system, the political system needs to be shaken up. I think that he's the kind of leader who could shake it up. But I tell you, he seems like he's on a mission to destroy his reputation and his campaign and his ability to get elected. And he's running against a horrible candidate. Oh, well, I'm not going to get too political here, but he's running against a terrible candidate, and he's still behind. You know, Donald Trump should be wiping the floor with Hillary Clinton right now, but I think Hillary's going to win. So, gun owners, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you something, gun owners. Are you prepared for what's going to happen if Hillary Clinton wins this election? I think it's going to be worse, far worse than under Obama for gun owners. Far worse than what we've experienced under Obama for gun owners. Okay? And I am going to give you two words to think about in preparing for the life of a gun owner during a Hillary Clinton presidency. Okay? Here are the two words. Supreme Court. Do I have to say any more? Those are the two words that I want you to think about in preparation for what is very possibly going to be a Hillary Clinton presidency. For you gun owners, Supreme Court. All right, quick break, and I'll be right back. I'm back. Please don't forget about my Amazon store. I have a huge thank you to give to a lot of you out there. I've had the last 3 or 4 months very, very good results on my Amazon affiliate link, the Handgun World Amazon store. So many of you go there and make purchases. I appreciate that. That's a way that you can support my show financially and not have to spend any extra money. If you're going to buy something on Amazon, go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store, and follow that link when you go to Amazon. Then log into your Amazon account and make your purchases. And that helps me out. I very much appreciate that. And please remember about the voicemail. 210-646-1727 is my voicemail number. I've had some real good voicemails come to the show. to the podcast here lately. And thank you. I appreciate that. I addressed those last week. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I'm signed up for a training class. I'm going to be a student at advanced gunfighting taught by Randy Harris at Suarez International. It's a Suarez International class, advanced gunfighting, used to be called close range gunfighting level 3. That's going to be a 2-day class on the 13th and 14th of August, and I'm going to be, that's coming up real soon. As a matter of fact, by the time this podcast releases, it's coming up next weekend. I'll have a lot to say about that when I come back, so stay tuned for that. Sorry about that. I had to grab a quick phone call. I was talking about, I guess, lost my train of thought there because I had to grab that phone call, but I think I was talking about the advanced gunfighting class that I'm taking. And going out to East Tennessee, going to be out there. I'll have some real good comments on that. Hopefully, I'll get some interviews. But I'm going to give a review of that class. I'm sure it's going to be good. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And then don't forget, I'm teaching our Beyond Concealed Carry Advanced. If you want to take a good one day class, if you want to take a good 1 day class, 1 day to polish up your skills, learn some advanced skills, some things that you don't really get in a lot of training classes. Ben Branham and I put together worst case scenarios. I'll be teaching you how to use your gun to solve some of those worst case scenarios if you decide to go to your gun. With all that said, folks, thanks for listening. I'm Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, the loudest sound the shooter hears is a bang when he was expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Talk to you next week. Goodbye. He got snakes on a plane. The bounty hunter's coming and don't care if you were framed. You don't know. The man with no name, the bounty hunter's coming and he don't care. A lawyer's got a double life going on the side, while living with his in-laws he was caught in a lie. You can try to cover up your tracks, but he'll find out.